Good evening, everyone. It's time for another bedtime story with
Topside.
We're reading from the Swiss Family Robinson. This is by Johann Viss. We're on chapter 8. Viss. It's German pronunciation. The Grotto that Time Forgot. The beautiful female Onagra soon became our most prized possession. The boys were amazed to learn her coat would change from cinnamon to pale yellow-brown during the rainy season. We all agreed that she was the most unusual animal of her species we'd ever seen. Her training was, as I had expected, a tedious undertaking. Nips, our monkey, was her first rider. He stuck so tightly to her back that in spite of the Onagra's plunging and kicking, he was not thrown. "Let me try now," begged Francis. "After all, I'm the smallest one in the family." Although I gave my consent, I was careful to lead the donkey with a halter so that no harm would come to my son. "I'm next," insisted Jack, but he landed only a few minutes later, unhurt, in the sand. Ernest, Fritz, and I followed suit, but we were soon so dizzy and exhausted from the frantic galloping. Fritz, however, didn't give up. Over and over again, he mounted the wild donkey and rode off. Finally, the Onagra got accustomed to us and was quite tame. We chose the name Lightfoot for her because of her incredible strength and swiftness. To this day, I could still picture Fritz on the back of Lightfoot as they tore up and down the beach with the speed of lightning. This pleasant way of life ended abruptly with the arrival of the rainy season, which was our winter. The rain fell in such heavy torrents that it turned the entire countryside into one big lake. The winds blew so furiously that they deluged our beds with rain and threatened to carry us away. We had no choice but to move from the treehouse into the stable that we had built between the roots below. Crowded together in the dark, we were nearly sick from the foul odor of the livestock. In addition, we were stifled by smoke whenever we kindled the fire and drenched with rain when we opened the doors. Week after week, we were prisoners inside the barn. For the first time, Elizabeth was obviously upset. "We simply will have to build another winter home elsewhere," she stated. "You're right," I replied. "I don't think any of us could go through this again." "We could still use the treehouse for a summer residence," she went on. "After all, we do all love it there." "Agreed, my dear." "Listen to this," Fritz said as he leafed through a book he found in the bottom of a chest. "Robinson Crusoe cut his home out of solid rock. Why can't we do the same thing?" "We can," Ernest said. "How about the rocks on the other side of the island? They just might suit our purpose." As soon as the gloomy weeks of rain had ended and we had gotten Falcon's Nest in order, we set out to investigate the rocks behind Tent House. Here we found that the ravages of winter weather had taken their toll, too. The winds and rain had beaten down the tent and scattered our provisions hither and yon. Luckily, our sailing boat was still in anchor, but the tub boat was completely shattered. "I will certainly be glad when we have more solid winter quarters," I told the boys. "We had better get right to work," said Fritz. I had to confess to the boys that I had my doubts about carving a home out of those rocks. "However," I added, "I'm willing to give it a try." Wielding pickaxes, chisels, hammers, and iron levers, we set to work at an enchanting spot that faced Providence Bay, Jackals River, and Family Bridge. With charcoal, I marked the opening we wished to make, and the boys then began hammering away. At first, the progress was monotonous and slow, but as we advanced, the rock became softer. When we had to cut into it about a foot, we were able to loosen the rock with a spade, just as if it were dried mud. After several days of hard work, we had penetrated 7 feet into the rock. Then one day, as Fritz was carting out a wheelbarrow full of rock and dirt, Jack cried out, "Father, we have pierced all the way through! Come see!" The boys lit some candles, and, holding them high, we advanced forward in one solemn procession. The most beautiful and magnificent spectacle awaited us. Our candles illuminated a large grotto, whose sides sparkled in the flickering light like a sea of diamonds. Hundreds of crystals of every length and shape hung from the top of the cavern and joined with those on the bottom and sides to form pillars, altars, and a variety of other figures. "It's like the palace of a great European king," cried Fritz. "Or the temple of a Roman god," added Jack. "One thing is certain," I told them. "No man has ever set foot here before. It has been hidden away from civilization since time began." "What do you think this is, Father?" asked Ernest, breaking off one of the crystals that hung down from the ceiling. "It's salt," I exclaimed in delight. "Boys, we have discovered a salt mine." "Will we still be able to live here?" asked Fritz anxiously. "I mean, with the salt?" Of course we will, I answered. If you notice, the floor is level and covered with a fine white sand. The cavern itself is tight and dry. Why, it's the perfect site for our winter home. However, we continued to live at Falcon's Nest for many months. During this time, we converted the grotto into a comfortable residence that would house not only our family, but our growing brood of animals as well. On one side, we constructed a stable and a workroom that would accommodate the livestock, their feed, and all our provisions and equipment. On the other side was our home, which consisted of a bedroom for Elizabeth and myself, a bedroom for the boys, a dining room, and a kitchen. Here, we built a fireplace and a chimney that extended through the roof. With the exception of the dining room, each room had a window, which we chiseled out of the rock. Felsenheim, or the Dwelling in the Rock, was the name of our new home. We soon realized that we had made a smart move, for the surrounding area was full of an endless supply of fish and game. Immense turtles visited the shore to deposit their eggs, and schools of salmon and sturgeon swelled the bay. Large cranes flying through the cornfields were frequently captured by Fritz's sharp-eyed eagle, while kangaroos were seen jumping in and out of the sugarcane. One afternoon, as we wandered through the woods, we came upon a grove of bushes that appeared to be covered with snowflakes. Fritz darted into them on Lightfoot and returned with his hands full of the fluffy tufts. "Father," he cried, "is this what I think it is?" End of chapter 8. Da-da-da-da-da.
Come on, next chapter 9.
They built a whole new house. They got like 3 houses now. It's pretty cool. And I bet you they could make their tent like the front awning of their Felsenheim. Anyways, that's all we have time for tonight. Coming up next, chapter 9. Good night.
What's your nice name?
Good night.